Thank you for listening to City Church Podcast. We hope you find this message helpful. And at the same time, it is important to us that you know podcasts should not be a substitute for the flesh and blood people of the church. Church is more than sermons. If you aren't a part of a local church, we would love to help you find one in your area. Please don't hesitate to email us at sermons@borrowcitychurch.com. That's sermons@borrowcitychurch.com. We would be happy to help. Thank you for listening.
So before I get into today's passage, I'd like to remind you or point out exactly where we are in the book of Romans and what's going on a little bit behind it. So Paul's letter to Rome was to give spiritual strength and instruction to believers in Rome. He wanted prayer and support for the mission that they were pursuing, as a vision God had given him was that Rome would be a vital jumping off point for the gospel to be proclaimed to the world. He was calling believers in Rome to join with him and be unified in this mission to spread the gospel with him. So in this section of the letter to Rome we're currently in, it shows us how Israel has failed to do that, had failed to give the gospel and proclaim it outward. And now God has called Paul and the rest of the church to bear that responsibility, to take the gospel and to take it as far as they can. So they had already seen some of this start to happen because the church in Rome actually started before Paul and the disciples had a chance to get there. It likely formed as travelers from Rome heard the gospel elsewhere and took it back with them. And so he is reaching out. He had this desire to go to Rome, and he wants to encourage them to join in the mission with him. So last week, Jacob gave us a sermon sharing the truths of the gospel, and if you missed it, I highly recommend you go back and listen to it. It won't take you very long, as I'm pretty sure it was the second shortest sermon that anyone's preached here at City Church. But the gist of it is that the only thing you need to do in order to be saved is to call on the name of the Lord and believe. Believe that Jesus is what you need and nothing else. Jew or Gentile, black or white, liberal, conservative, East Coast, West Coast, Northerner, Southerner, East of Broad Street, West of Broad Street, salvation is available to everyone. It is nothing that we do, but what Christ has already done on the cross that brings salvation to us. But what do we do with that? Okay, you know, I believe, I want to follow God. What does that mean for me now? So let's take a look at today's passage. Today we're going to be in Romans 10. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, verse 14 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, we offer those in the back. You feel free to take one. They're in the desk lobby area outside. So feel free to take one with you, read it, use it, enjoy it. They're there for you. So let's look at Romans 10, 14 through 17. But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe without hearing him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. So here in the passage, Paul provides us a bit of logic that picks up from where we left off last week. All that is needed is to call upon the Lord to believe, and if that's true, how will people know what is needed? They can't call on him if they don't yet believe. They can't hear about him if no one has told them about him. And they can't be told if no one has been sent to tell them. So what are we to do? What are we supposed to do with that? Brings me to my first point. The first point is that we must evangelize in order for someone to call on the name of the Lord. We must evangelize in order for someone to call on the name of the Lord. The word Paul uses here for preaching has a particular connotation. The original texts of Scripture have several words that can be translated into our English language as preaching, but there's really two main ones that you see over and over. And those two words can be found in this passage, and they also are found together in a passage in Acts 8 that I think highlights the two different meanings and connotations very well. At this time, the church in Acts 8 is facing persecution at the hands of Saul, who actually became renamed Paul and wrote the book of Romans. And it is amazing to me that God can change someone's heart who is adamantly opposed to the gospel to the point in which he became what we have read here in Romans. In that scripture, it tells that the apostles have been scattered throughout Judea and Samaria due to this persecution that has come at the hands of Saul. And so let's look at Acts 8, verse 4 through 6. It says, "So those who were scattered went on their way proclaiming the message of good news. Philip went down to a city and preached the Messiah to them. The crowds paid attention with one mind to what Philip said as they heard and saw the signs he was performing." So the first two of the two common words for preaching that is used here is in verse 4. It comes from the same word that we get our word evangelism from. It simply means to share the good news. And in the passage, it says that people are doing that as they're going. They've been scattered. They've been pushed out because of this persecution, and they're still spreading the good news. So the word, though, in the original Greek language, represents more of a focus on the message rather than the messenger. And that message is the gospel, the good news. So what must happen in order for someone to call on the name of the Lord is evangelism. Evangelism is the sharing of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's absolutely necessary for people to hear this good news. This requires us to tell them about Jesus, how he lived a perfect life, fulfilling Jewish law, like all others, ourselves included, were unable to live. How he died on the cross willingly, sacrificially, so that he could receive the punishment that we all deserved under the law in our place. That death did not last, though. He was raised up from the tomb, and on the third day, defeating death and going to live at the right hand of the Father. And we can live there eternally too, if only we call on him and have faith that he is all that we need to receive this salvation and nothing else. So this, as we evangelize, can require persuasion. As people often think, we're better off than we actually are. Like, we often think that we're good enough to stand on our own merits, and we'll think that, oh, we're not as bad as we truly are. And if left to our own devices, we'll sit in these beliefs, and many of us would just be content to compare ourselves to the next guy. The problem with that is we're comparing ourselves to the wrong person, the wrong people. All of us fall short of the standard which Jesus Christ was held to and successful at living. So when we're called to share the gospel with people, it's often not enough merely to proclaim it, but we must incorporate some sort of persuasion. Now, when I'm talking about persuasion, I'm not trying to tell you need to give the hard sell, like you're going to push that old used car off on somebody. Like, I'm meaning that you need to use the gifts that God has given you to help someone understand at a heart level the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the second word for preaching that we also find in these two passages is what the passage says that Philip is doing. He's preaching the Messiah to them. That's more like what I'm doing here today. It says he was preaching before crowds, and they were paying attention to what he was saying and the signs he was performing. The word here is more like our English word heralding. This word is focused on the person who has a message to proclaim. So what is a herald? So in the ancient world, news was transmitted by a herald. They didn't have news apps and social media so that everyone could see the news in the whole world like we do now, and to see the pictures of the aurora that you saw, like they didn't, they had to wait on word to come from someone else. Usually, this someone had a special authority granted by a ruler to convey his message either to other officials or to the general public. So if you've ever watched movies about medieval times or whatever, you know, they often will have something where they have a little guy and he stands up on something and goes, hear ye, we've gathered in the city plaza to declare the library Murfreesboro's favorite place to read books, which is something our city has actually done, minus the Little Herald. But at those towns, they call that a town crier, but that's basically the gist of what a herald was. So in essence, we're seeing two types of callings in this passage. One is to everyone who believes. As we're going, we need to share the gospel with those who have not heard it yet, excuse me, or don't yet understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This, for us, City Church, is the P in our IHOP initiative, proclaiming the gospel. The other is a particular calling of someone to preach or herald the gospel so that it can effectively reach more people. This is someone who makes it their primary focus to communicate with as many people as they can and call them to confess and believe in Christ for their salvation. It's kind of funny to me that I'm delivering the message today. I don't really consider myself a preacher. Feels kind of like I'm just playing one on TV. You know how Joey was Dr. Drake Ramore on Friends. So being up here is a little bit out of my comfort zone. I prefer serving in less visible ways. But as we were preparing for this sermon, in fact, one of my children told me I would not get as many laughs as the other preachers. So we also know that one of my children doesn't have the gift of encouragement. But seriously, I'm a lay elder up here telling the congregation about what it means to be the preacher. Maybe it's a good thing because I don't have as much skin in the game. So what does it mean to be a preacher? Can't people just read their Bible to come to know Jesus or watch messages on television or online, listen to podcasts about Jesus and come to know him? And so I can't say that people don't come to know the Lord by those means. In fact, I'm sure God has used those methods as a part of drawing people to him. But it's not the primary method that God has given us. Throughout Scripture, and especially with what we see in the book of Acts, God sends people to preach the gospel to others. Like Philip in the passage that we just looked at, it's apparent that God wants people to preach this gospel so that others might believe. Now, we don't know why God chooses to deliver his message this way. All we know that it is what he chooses. There are particular ways that God designs our world to work, and I think this is one of them. God can choose to do it other ways as well, but it does seem that this is his main way that we can effectively reach other people. I kind of liken it to farming to get food. God chose it to be necessary that farmers have to go through a process in order for us to have food. God could have designed it so that tacos just popped out of the ground ready for consumption. But that's not the normal way one gets tacos. Believe me, I know. For me and my family, we usually go to Carmen's Taqueria and eat them there. But seriously, corn farmers have to work the soil, get it ready, receive the corn that has been planted, cultivate it to grow, and be harvested so it can be processed into the tortillas that go into our tacos. Cattle farmers or ranchers have to care for, feed, and raise up to maturity the livestock that is slaughtered and processed so that I can have the carne asada and the barbacoa that make its way in my taco. So dairy farmers have to raise cows and milk them every day to provide dairy product to produce the cheese and the sour cream. Avocado farmers have to cultivate the trees that produce the avocados. And I mean, y'all know that the Lord blesses the hands of whoever makes the guacamole. So God could have designed tacos to just pop out of the soil miraculously if that's what he wanted to do. But he doesn't right now. Maybe that's in heaven, I don't know. But scripture shows us that he can provide for things miraculously. And for food, that provision worked miraculously when God provided manna to the Israelites in the wilderness. But that's not his normal way of working. God wants to include us in the process of sharing the message of Christ, and we should honor that call and pursue it. So there's a few other observations I'd like to share about preaching and what makes it relevant to our lives and how it helps us. Preaching is necessary because we as believers need instruction and guidance in understanding Scripture. That same passage we looked at in Acts, later on in Acts 8, we see that God combines a bit of the miraculous, but also the faithfulness of the preacher to share the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip, while going about his preaching the gospel, is called by an angel to visit an official of the queen who just so happens, when he gets there, to be reading the book of Isaiah out loud. That's where he finds him. Then it is said that the Holy Spirit told Philip to join the eunuch in his chariot and ask him if he understands what he's reading. The eunuch's response to me is priceless. He says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" So this prompts Philip to sit with him and explain the scriptures to him, eventually leading the man to be baptized that very day. Here, God uses a bit of the miraculous to facilitate their meeting, but Philip personally is used to explain the scripture and the gospel to the eunuch. So it's helpful that we be able to expound on scripture and testify what it has done in our lives. So when preaching or sharing the gospel, it's also necessary that we know the truth of scripture, so that we're not communicating just our own opinions. Knowing and using scripture is vitally important to evangelism and preaching. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. People don't need my opinions. They need the word of God. That's what will prick their hearts and draw them to him. My opinions and experiences can't do that. We need to make sure that what we communicate with people while we're sharing about God is rooted in Scripture and not merely reciting what we think or what someone else has told us. This is big because this requires us to know Scripture, at least in a way to be enough to be able to tell other people about it or to point them to where Scripture is. But this helps us know that what we're talking about is rooted in the truth of Scripture and not merely our own opinions. Preaching also allows the gifts and talents of the preacher to connect others with the gospel. So we're blessed at City Church with staff and elders that can preach and connect with people in the community in different ways, different styles. God desires for the personal connection that a preacher can make to be part of how the gospel is spread and how we receive encouragement from the Word of God. The way one preaches often takes kind of their personal style and experience of what the individual preacher has been through. And God uses that to connect with different people in different ways. We get to experience that a little more now that Trevor's on sabbatical, but we also make a habit of our church to have multiple people preach. So preaching also gives us opportunity to explain and apply the message of the Word of God in a way that reading alone might not. When someone stands on this stage to preach the Word of God, hopefully we bring additional understanding and illumination to the text that we're preaching on because of things we've studied or things we've experienced that can help us to connect the message of Scripture to you, the listener, in a way that you might not get by reading the Word alone. Another way is that preaching works in the church is that it connects the church together. The thing that is very unique for preaching in the church is that way it connects us together, that shared experience. The church community reinforces the preaching that is received weekly. There's something about the gathering of the saints and the preaching of the word that is unique to the church. There's something wonderful about a group of believers gathered in anticipation that the Lord will speak by way of another believer standing in front of them. And you put that together with singing encouragement to one another, meeting outside of a worship gathering to talk about our lives and what's going on in them and encourage one another on a more personal level. Like, that is something that can truly be life-changing. I spent a few summers working in youth camps doing recreation while I was in college. And one of the things the staff of the camps would always talk about was that things were just different in the worship room. There was an experience about the things I just talked about were there, the preaching, the singing, the additional personal connection. These things would open up young people's hearts to hear what God wanted to tell them. So if that's not a plug for youth camp, I don't know what is. But those experiences are not unlike what goes on here on a weekly basis, which is why having you in a worship gathering is so important to us, our leaders. Now, we've experienced so much of this as a church over the last 13 years, and we want others to be able to experience that too. Which brings me to my next point. Point number two is that we must send out heralds to preach the gospel. Verse 15 starts with, how can they preach unless they are sent? This implies that there are people elsewhere who have not heard the gospel that need to. And there's a need for someone to be involved in sending out those people. As a church and as individuals, we have a responsibility to be involved in the sending out of people to communicate the gospel. As a matter of fact, City Church would not be here if Summit Church had not been behind sending out a group of us nearly 13 years ago to start this church with the hope of reaching people in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County who had not heard the gospel and had not yet seen the need to follow Jesus. In verse 15 of Romans 10 here, we see that there's a reference to Old Testament scripture that can help us understand a little bit better what Paul was trying to communicate to the church in Rome. Isaiah 52 gives us a picture of an OG Hebrew herald. So I'm going to read this, Isaiah 52, 6 through 7. It says, therefore my people will know my name. Therefore they will know on that day that I am he who says, here I am. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This passage speaks of the beautiful feet of the herald or messenger that is bearing the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know feet are not often seen as beautiful. That's not their primary function. It's not aesthetic. It's for transportation. And if you've ever looked at an athlete or a runner's feet, most of those look as if somebody has taken a hammer to them. So we athletes, or used to be athletes, as a young nurse practitioner at my doctor's office referred to me, we put our feet through the ringer. It's quickly become sandal season here in the state of Tennessee if you don't wear your socks with your Chacos. But the reason I know this is a couple of weeks ago, my wife had to get a pedicure to make her feet presentable to the outside world. It's open-toe shoes season. So, but for some people, feet are something that they want to hide and keep from showing other people. There's nothing attractive about my beat-up feet with toe mustaches that, you know, that's why you'll rarely see me barefoot unless I'm near a large body of water. But I like to keep mine covered with sneakers. So, but here in the passage, Paul talks about the feet of the herald being beautiful. What does that mean? The passage is referring to the sight of seeing, The passage is referring to the sight of seeing the herald of a king coming over a mountain with great news of a battle won or a kingdom conquered or protected, declaring that their leader, their land is victorious. People at the time would know of battles that were going on in lands nearby that were being either conquered or defended, and many of them would be waiting, wondering if during those times if a battle or an invasion might be headed toward them. They might have to be on their guard should something like that happen. But the sight of a herald with his team coming to announce that the king had been victorious was a welcome sight. Exciting. See, it's not their feet that looked beautiful, but rather the sight of seeing the herald of the king cresting the mountain, coming to declare that their king was victorious. That's what's beautiful. And that's what the preacher's job is. The preacher is to declare the victory that has been won by Jesus Christ. Jesus won that battle on the cross when he defeated the grave and is now ruling with God the Father. And preachers get to share that with whoever comes to listen. So what does all this mean? What are you supposed to do with this message? I'm sure that all of you are thinking that right now. I mean, after all, there's only one spot on this stage for the preacher, right? And there are many of you out here looking up at me right now. So I have some practical steps to help us kind of process this message. The first is pray that people would be obedient to God. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. There's two ways that I think that people can be used to be obedient with God, to God with evangelism and preaching. The first of those is to leverage your career. That's what Stephanie and I did when we moved to Murfreesboro. If you haven't picked up on it yet, preaching's not my full-time gig. I actually am just a normal employee at an average corporate job. So I started working for the company I worked for almost 13 years ago so that we could be here because we felt the call of God was on our lives was to come and help plant this church. So I took the talents that God had given me and found the best job that I could find to provide for us, me and my pregnant at the time wife, so that we could be a part of planting this church. I leveraged my career options to be obedient to the call that God had put on me, and many others did the same. So maybe you could use your career like that. Or maybe you can't. But you can use the station that you're in to share the gospel and enable others to share the gospel as well. For some, God may be calling you to leave your career. Maybe you're the new G herald, the new G preacher that we need to send out to preach. Or perhaps serve in some other ministerial capacity. For us at City Church, that would look like planting another church. You know, there was a time too in my life, it seemed like a lifetime ago, where I did leave a career in banking so that I could be a youth pastor. And maybe someone here today, God is calling you in that way. If there is, y'all made me a preacher today. Maybe I'll be a prophet after that. We'll see. But there's many ways that our staff and elders would love to be able to help you explore how you do that in our life, how you do that in your life. We've set up growth pathways. If you're interested in anything like that, seeing how you can be involved, there are resources being provided to you in those ways. Look for the growth pathway. So another way that we can respond to this call is to give of our finances so that we can help others serve. One of the ways that we proudly use your tithes and offerings to help support is to help support missionaries and church planters that we're connected to. You may even want to support one of them directly. So with that, we all have a general call to share the gospel where you are now, to the people that God has in your life. Use your station. District 46, youth, share Jesus with your classmates. The state of Tennessee demands that you be in a school or some sort of school setting. And in the public schools and private schools where you're around other people, that's an opportunity where you have to share with other people who may not know him. College students, share Jesus on your campus. Consider what career options you have that could leverage yourself to be used by God. Worker bees like me, be a light in your workplaces and communities where you live and do life. And even retirees, consider how you can leverage your retirement for the gospel. I heard a story from a church planner the other day about a group of 80-something-year-old people who were planning to move all to the same retirement community so that they could plant a church in that retirement community. To me, that's what the dream is at City Church, to see people planning to use wherever they're going, whatever station of life they're in, to further the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Lord, I'm thankful for today and just the call on our lives that you have given us to evangelize where we are, that you would encourage us in that you would give us strength in that on a daily basis. Lord, help us to encourage one another with that, as it can be frustrating. We can have its own difficulties. Lord, I pray for anybody in the congregation who may be trying to figure out what you're calling them to. Lord, help them to respond. Help them to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us as a church as we hope to equip people like that to share the gospel. These things I just ask in your name. Amen.